Well, good morning. I'm Nadia Shamsuddin, and I'm back with you today. Feeling a little bit under the weather yesterday, but I'm happy to be back with you today. I have a wonderful writer and author of a new book that just came out called God's Prophets, Faith, Fraud, and the Republican Crusade for Values Voters. This thing is very well planned out, very well researched and documented. And it was written by Sarah Posner, who is an investigative journalist covering the activities of conservative evangelicals. She has written for The Nation, The American Prospect, Alternet, The Washington Spectator, and The Gadflyer. She also writes The Fundamental List, which counts down the week's top news about the religious right, for the American Prospect website at prospect.org. Sarah writes about something that is very close to my heart. You know, I lived in Washington, D.C. for years and worked as a journalist. I'm also a Christian and was involved in some churches that were very much integrated into politics, and it never did really set well with me. And in those days, I have to say that I was somewhat naive because I was still learning about this whole marriage between the evangelicals and politics. But there was always something in my gut that said it's not right. There was always something about it that seems so not genuine to me. Kind of like you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And it seemed to me that that's not what the church was supposed to be about. And so I've really been enjoying reading the book, and it's very enlightening, and I encourage you to get a copy. It was published by Polypoint Press, and we'll be giving you the information on how you may obtain the book. I wanted to read a couple of reviews, really excellent summaries of the book. And the first one is by Max Blumenthal from the National Institute of Writing Fellow, and he says that Sarah has produced the definitive expose of America's leading prosperity gospel preachers. With direct access to the Bush White House and Republican lawmakers, these televangelists have injected their Armageddon-based agenda into U.S. foreign policy. Posner's book should serve as a stark warning to anyone tempted to dismiss the John Hagees and Rod Parsleys of the world as being benign loons. And Fred Clarkson, who is the author of Eternal Hostility, The Struggle Between Theocracy and Democracy, says that in God's Prophets, it's an astonishing tale of religious hucksterism and its role in politics as big and crass and as ostentatious empires of the Word of Faith movement itself. It features a cast of charlatans, demagogues, con men, and the politicians and presidents who pander to them. It is also a window in the rise of the Bush family dynasty and details how John Hagee, Rod Parsley, and their ilk treat faith as a cheap political commodity on its behalf. So we're going to get into a very interesting discussion about all this when we get back. Stay with us. You're tuned to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Welcome back to the program. And Sarah, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Nadia. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. I'm so glad you're here. And I want to congratulate you, first of all, on a job very well done with this book. It's well written and well documented. And I want to ask you how you came to be interested in the subject of the book.
Well, it was interesting because I had done an article about Rod Parsley, who's one of the televangelist featured in the book, for the American Prospect. And in the course of doing a story about his political rise around the time of the 2004 election, I discovered his connection with the Word of Faith movement, the Prosperity Gospel movement, and became very interested in how much that has pervaded American churches, even though a lot of Christians consider it heretical, and how a lot of the preachers who preach the prosperity gospel are still sought after by politicians, despite the fact that this gospel that they preach is so controversial.
Well, you talk about Rod Parsley a lot, and you call him a reactionary preacher. Could you elaborate on that?
Well, he is a very old school in a lot of ways, even though he has a sort of very new, slick PR machine behind him, and so he's trying to make himself seem more hip, but his ideology is definitely of the Jerry Falwell brand. He, in fact, considers his Center for Moral Clarity a successor of sorts to Falwell's Moral Majority. And so he very much looks to the past as being a better time in American life. He's very opposed to, for example, equal rights for gay people. He opposes reproductive rights. And he has a very conservative brand of theology as well.
Well, he certainly doesn't live conservatively, does he? I mean, you say he has a 7,500 square foot home, shielded from view by a wall of trees and protected by an iron fence and a guard, and has his own private plane. You know, sometimes, and I've heard this about all these guys, and it makes me wonder if they put so much faith in God being able to provide massive amounts of money for them and their followers, why can't they put their faith in God to protect them? What are they afraid of?
Yes, that's but, true. I mean, they do, you know, they very much in a sort of one part of the Pentecostal tradition, the charismatic tradition that they come out of, is the belief that they're engaged in spiritual warfare with their enemies, with Satan. And so they are paranoid about, you know, about people coming against them or questioning their wealth. And, you know, but of course, you know, so that's a big part of the reason why he lives shielded from public view. You know, a lot of people do still do question how he lives.
Right. Yeah, you say, I wanted to read a bit out of your book, and on page 2 you say, when religion and politics collide, the result is explosive. When religion and politics collide with money and personal ambition, the result is toxic. How has that toxicity manifested itself in politics in America?
Well, a great example of that is what's going on right now with Senator Grassley's investigation of 6 televangelists. The televangelists he's investigating are Kenneth Copeland, Paula White, Joyce Meyer, Creflo Dollar, Eddie Long, and Kenneth Copeland. And all Grassley is looking at is whether they used tax-exempt donor funds for a non-exempt purpose, meaning they get money from their donors because, you know, in a tax-exempt way because they're a church, and he wants to look into, did they take that money and use it for their own personal luxuries or use it to put into for-profit companies that are run by their families, that sort of thing. But they are taking the position, all of them except for Joyce Meyer, are taking the position that that's none of the government's business and that Grassley is just, you know, engaging in this unconstitutional questioning of their church doctrine. And Copeland, in fact, said that, you know, he would engage in holy war rather than respond to Grassley's inquiry or to a congressional subpoena. And so you think, okay, here is, you know, here is where politics and religion and money are intersecting. And here's this televangelist saying he's not going to comply with a congressional subpoena, yet he's raising money for a major presidential candidate, Mike Huckabee. And Mike Huckabee is defending Kenneth Copeland on Meet the Press with Tim Russert. So there you see the intersection of the money, the politics, and the religion in such a way that it's making it politically difficult for people to question the money excesses of these televangelists because they have political connections and political power, and they're framing it in terms of, oh, you know, the government is trying to intrude on our religion as opposed to the government questioning whether the tax laws are working properly.
Well, it sounds as if they want to use the government for their gain, you know, to a certain degree where it's good for them, but then when the government wants to, you know, do an assessment of what they're really up to with all this money that they're getting as a tax-free base,
right?
They're sort of, you know, they're kind of doing what Bush does sometimes with this executive privilege, so to
speak.
Right,
exactly. They want to have their cake and eat it too. So on the one hand, they like having the tax exemption. They like being organized as a church because churches, unlike other types of nonprofits, don't have to file tax returns. So if you're just a regular nonprofit, you have to file a tax return, which is available to the public, so anyone could see how much money comes in, how much money the executives are paid, and so forth. But churches don't have to do that. And so they have the benefit of not only having the tax exemption, but having this lack of transparency. And so they take advantage of that benefit to them in the tax code. But once there's any oversight of whether they're abusing that benefit, then they don't like the government getting in the way.
Well, you know, speaking about how all these guys live with these huge mansions, a luxury lifestyle, bodyguards, private jets. You know, what amazes me is that there are people out there that are willing to continue to support these kinds of, quote, ministries. And they act as if Tammy Faye and Jim Baker and Jimmy Swaggart, they act like those things never existed. It's like all those exposés years ago never really existed, and they're going along like those things never happened. How can these people who operate on the same prosperity message as did Jim and Tammy Faye mm-hmm. Baker, and mm-hmm. they live mm-hmm. this big lifestyle, how can they do that? How can they continue to be fooling so many people?
It's a great question, and it's a really astonishing thing. But, I mean, when I go back to what I said earlier about this belief in being engaged in spiritual warfare with one's enemies, they make their followers believe that they are anointed by God and that they speak for God. And so their followers are incredibly gullible for this message. I think it's people who want to have a leader, want to have somebody tell them in a black and white way what the quote-unquote truth is. And so they have all these people looking to them for miracles, whether a financial miracle or a healing miracle. And then they tell their followers, you know, what's in the Bible is the truth, and what you read in the newspaper is not the truth. You know, that's just the devil trying to come at God's anointed ones.
And so they sort of advocate just shutting down your intellect and not studying anything outside of what they tell you is sanctioned for your participation in this, quote, ministry or church. So it's, in essence, what you're saying is it's a tremendous amount of control over these people.
That's right. And one of the features of the Word of Faith movement, the prosperity gospel is one aspect of the Word of Faith movement, but another feature of it is what they call revelation knowledge, meaning that you should take the revelations you receive from God as the truth, even though your senses, what you're observing around you, might contradict that. And I've talked to people in these churches, and they really believe that. They really believe that they should listen to what they're hearing from God, even though what they're seeing around them contradicts that. So, you know, I've talked to people who wouldn't read negative newspaper articles about their pastor out of deference to the pastor, so wouldn't even want to look at or give any credence to any criticism from the media or even from other Christians, Christians who question the prosperity message and whether it's actually biblical.
Well, you know, I read somewhere, it's been a few months, that Hagee now has probably hit or passed the $1 billion mark in terms of his profits from books, DVDs, movie, you know, the tours he takes to Israel, the whole shooting match.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and they make a tremendous amount of money off of all of this, what I call propaganda or heretical teaching, because I do believe it's heretical.
Mm-hmm.
Did you encounter anyone in your research that seemed to have any uneasiness about all that? Did you meet any
amount of money?
Yeah, I mean, anybody in these churches that are actually buying the books and DVDs, did they ever seem to be questioning it at all?
No. And I think that for a lot of them, they look at their preacher's prosperity as evidence that the prosperity gospel works. So they've been brainwashed into thinking, okay, here is a man of God, and if he is preaching this message, and he is rich, that must
then
mean that it works.
Yeah, then I'll
justifies,
be fit.
And that justifies my own greed, because if this man of God can want all this material blessing, then there's nothing wrong with me wanting all this stuff, too.
That's horrible. Okay, we're going to take another break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
The
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
And welcome back to the day. And, you know, I wanted to get into something that you talk about, sort of the transition from, there seems to have been a shift from one Bush to another, and sort of the shift in their perspective on all this. And you say that Weed, who was an advisor, advised Bush Sr., pardon me, to use code language and expressions that would impress evangelicals without offending non-evangelicals. He offered to arrange for a cameraman to catch the vice president with a tear in his eye as he listened to the evangelist and Bush family, Billy Graham, preach. He recalled that the elder Bush said, quote, "You know, I'm a friend of Billy Graham's, and I don't want to use this for political purposes." But according to Weed, George W. Bush said, quote, just kind of rolled his eyes and said, "By God, I would." What do you think accounts for that shift from one generation of a Bush to another?
Well, I think that, you know, Bush Sr. was, you know, raised in, you know, a mainline denomination, Episcopal, you know, he was Episcopalian, and he was never really comfortable in the evangelical world and using his faith so explicitly for political gain. Now, that's not to say that he didn't take Weed's advice in meeting privately with a lot of different evangelicals in anticipation of his run for president for the presidency in 88, and tried to pander to them in a less explicit way than his son ended up doing 12 years later. And I think that George W. Bush, you know, having been in Texas so long, probably saw the political power of evangelicals and knew that they would be a formidable force for him in seeking the presidency. And so
it worked, didn't it?
Yes, it did work. But a lot of them are, of course, disillusioned now. A lot of them still like Bush and are among the whatever it is, 20-something percent who still give him a positive approval rating. But as you see in the presidential campaign this year, they're pretty divided about who they actually like.
Now, what's interesting is that you say because of their tax-exempt status, they are bridled or should be bridled from endorsing any specific candidate, but they still seem to get away with that. And you say that Hagee was unequivocal that Jesus would vote for George W. Bush. What a comment. I mean, what a thing to say.
Right.
I mean, first of all, there's no scriptural precedent for any of the stuff that they talk about and much of what is propagated in the prosperity gospel.
Mm-hmm.
It's anathema to what scripture says. They take it and twist it for their own gain.
Right.
But
right.
To say something like this, that they would presume what Jesus would do and who he would vote for, I mean, that's beyond the pale.
It's pretty remarkable. And, you know, they are, the tax code is pretty, draws a line where it says that they cannot use church resources to endorse a candidate, but they can do it in their capacity as a private citizen. And so that's why you see all these preachers coming out and endorsing candidates, but the IRS does not come down on them because they're pretty careful not to cross that line. Now, a lot of times that line is pretty ambiguous, and obviously their clout as a preacher with many, many followers has a lot of influence over people, even if they're doing the endorsement in their capacity as a private citizen, supposedly. Mm-hmm. But you're right. I mean, Hagee's endorsement of Bush, that was from the 2000 campaign, the quote that you read, and that was a pretty bold and remarkable statement to make about a candidate.
Well, it is, and again, it sort of equates our experience here with something that's presumptive about what Jesus would do, which was also a big, you know, what would Jesus do was a huge marketing campaign. It made people a lot of money. It didn't, I don't know if it ever really made sense, but to me, theologically. But anyway, you know, you talk a lot about Trinity Broadcasting Network in California, this huge multi-million-dollar complex, and they're, you know, spewing this stuff all over the planet. They're in Southeast Asia and Europe, and that they have a huge building that's filled with antiques. What's the point of that?
Well, Jan Crouch, Paul and Jan Crouch are the heads of TBN, and TBN is not organized as a church, so its tax returns are available to the public. And it's a nonprofit organization, still has that tax-exempt status just like churches do. It has something like $300 million in assets. It pulls in over $100 million a year in donations. The Crouches get paid, you know, together probably about $1 million a year, plus they have all these perks, different pieces of real estate that are owned by the nonprofit that they use. And Jan Crouch really likes antiques. And when I visited the Trinity Broadcasting Network studio in Texas, I got a little tour of it from one of the employees there, and she talked about how much Jan likes going to Europe and buying antiques and bringing them back, and was showing us all of these pieces that Jan had specially picked out for the building.
Oh, okay. That says a lot about what the Bible says we're supposed to be doing with our money. Okay. I got a lot of problems with this.
You're not the only one. I mean, there are a lot of Christians who believe that it's a complete distortion of the scripture, and you know, obviously, a lot of people, even people who aren't religious, have a problem with the money and the abuse of the
taxes.
Well,
they should. Yeah. We're going to take another break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715, again, 888-211-1715, or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Thanks for staying with us. We're back from the break. And we're talking with Sarah Posner about her new book, God's Prophet. Sarah, am I pronouncing your last name right? Is it
you
Posner?
Are. You are. Thank you.
you talk about in the spring of 07 that John McCain appeared on a TBN show with Paul Crouch and where he said that, quote, the struggle between good and evil and the war of terrorism and vitality of Christian support for Israel were his focus. Are we going to see more of this kind of pandering to the Christians in the prosperity gospel movement with McCain? Have you seen that already in his campaign?
That was his first outreach back in the spring of 07, shortly before he announced his presidential bid. And appearing on TBN, I mean, even Bush didn't want to appear on TBN because the prosperity gospel is so controversial and Paul and Jan Crouch are so controversial. So I was actually pretty surprised when I saw McCain on there. But then he also made an appearance at the Christians United for Israel conference convened by John Hagee in July. And I think that as the general election campaign heats up, you will likely see him reaching out to some of his allies in that community, particularly Hagee, and particularly if the war and the war on terror and terrorism and national security become big issues in the campaign, which they probably will.
Mm-hmm. Well, you say something that I thought was very well articulated. You say where profit-driven church meets the cornerstone of conservative economic ideology, televangelists have been enriching themselves in an unregulated marketplace, trading on God, the cult of personality, and the American dream of riches and success. Did you look into, as part of your research, sort of what were the beginnings of this prosperity gospel? Where did it come from, and who started it?
Well, Kenneth Hagin is considered sort of the grandfather of the Word of Faith movement, and he was an evangelist who traveled around doing these tent revivals in Texas and Oklahoma in the 1950s and 1940s and 50s, and he started preaching this message that that God wants you to be rich, and your ability to become rich is based on your faith and your willingness to engage in what they call positive confession, and that it's on your tongue, that you can call it into existence, that God gives you that power as a born-again believer in Christ. I know you're shuddering right now, but...
I'll tell you what I'm thinking, because I do believe the scriptures say that, you know, Jesus said you can have whatever you say, and I do believe there is great power in the spoken word. However, how that is applied is another issue, and that is the crux of the whole thing. Now you draw out for us a very good understanding that there is sort of a symbiotic union that's been forged between politics and the name it and claim it crowd. It's also called blab it and grab it.
Right.
And I have to say, as a Christian, I've been so completely repulsed by all this. But, you know, I wonder, is there an end in sight for this? Is this just going to keep going on ad nauseum?
I think that even though you see people pulling away from it and people becoming disenchanted with it and people leaving the churches, it seems like there's a constant supply of new people who are searching for something spiritual and end up going to these churches. And it's not just that they're on the airwaves and they have conferences all over the country where people hear them speak and they buy their DVDs and books and so on and so forth. It's that the churches replicate themselves. A lot of them have these ministerial fellowships and they do church plants all over the country. So, for example, Rob Parsley, he claims that he has 2,000 church plants in his ministerial fellowship. So it's sort of like a franchising of the message, so that even for people who aren't going to one of these mega churches with one of the very well-known prosperity preachers, they're going to a smaller church that's being pastored by one of their disciples or franchisees, really.
And, you know, it's interesting because you also talk about different instances where some of these people have been in the White House and they've met with the president or the vice president. And it seems as though they were like little kids in a candy shop, like, oh, look how special I am because I got to be in the White House. And it would seem to me that that would sort of have a blinding effect, that if you get caught up in your ego and feeding the ego, that really numbs you from seeing what is really important in life. And it seems like they have gotten caught up in that. When I say symbiotic union, I mean it's like one can't live without the other. They're sort of interdependent. But I guess one question I have for you is, in your observation, who do you see is using who more? Are politics using the religious right more, or is it the other way around?
Well, clearly politicians have used the religious right for a massive get out the vote drive. And the whole purpose, the whole expressed purpose of people like Doug Weed or Karl Rove in inviting these pastors to the White House for what is basically a photo opportunity was that they wanted to reach these pastors' huge audiences, because then they thought, well, then these people will go out and vote for us. So that was a pretty cynical use of religion and the pastors. On the other hand, a lot of these pastors really like being in the limelight, and they like being considered politically influential or important. But, you know, really who's getting used is really the congregants, who are being led to believe that their their pastor has real political power and is not just being used to get them to vote for a particular candidate.
Well, it's interesting because if you study the scriptures, there are quite a few scripture references about what Jesus had to say about the political establishment. I think he was pretty much apolitical.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to ask you about the Greek word. What is the meaning in Greek of the word prosper?
Well, there is in the book. I break down one of the verses from John, where there was a greeting to somebody else saying that I hope that you prosper, and that the prosperity evangelists used that as evidence that, you know, God and Jesus wanted their followers to be prosperous, i.e. rich. But Bible scholars, which I am not, have broken that down and said that, you know, the original meaning of that word, it was just a standard greeting in antiquity. It was basically a way of saying, oh, I hope things go well for you, and not, you know, I want you, you know, I hope that things go so well for you that you live in a mansion and have a private jet.
Well, and you quote McConnell, interesting writer,
mm-hmm.
and I liked what he had to say. He says they distorted the word need to mean something beyond necessity, and it failed to make, quote, any distinction between a need and a want and a lust for
mm-hmm.
items such as new houses, fancy cars, and fine clothing. And he says it's a carnal accommodation to the crass materialism of American culture. So, you know, that's interesting that that distinction is also made, because this stuff is going out all over the world. I mean,
mm-hmm.
this is not exclusive to America. But what is so alarming to me is, how can something like this fly in a place like China or Africa, where there's so much poverty? And, you know, historically, when missionaries were working in China, for instance, many years ago, they were giving out rice. And so
mm-hmm.
there were people that became called rice Christians. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
And they would feign a conversion just to get the rice, which, you know, I feel for them. I mean, they're hungry. They're trying to survive. But when we examine the way the rest of the world lives in terms of living standard, even the poor in America, even some of the poorest of the poor in America, are still living better than the world's poor across the globe. And so, you know, I find this kind of alarming that this stuff is being spread out there, and I wonder, you know, how it's flying in some of these other places around the world. And you mentioned in TBN how far-reaching their broadcasts are.
Right, right. Well, it was interesting. In my travels here in the United States, I met a man from India who was raised Hindu and converted to Christianity through one of these processes. Through these prosperity messages, and was a follower of Kenneth Copeland, and had completely bought into the Word of Faith message. Talked to me a lot about the power of the positive confession to bring great wealth, and talked about having his church in this very poor part of India. And I met him at a conference in the United States where some generous donor had paid his way to fly here and stay in a hotel here. And we were staying in the same hotel at a Hampton Inn, and he was talking to me about how great it was to stay in the Hampton Inn, because back home in India, he slept on a very thin mattress and in a room that had a leaking roof. Yet he was still hoping for the kind of prosperity that Kenneth Copeland has, and that Kenneth Copeland preaches to his followers that they can have. And it was just so remarkable to me that somebody who was living in poverty and, you know, couldn't even afford to pay for his airfare here, you know, yet thought it was okay that Kenneth Copeland has a $20 million private jet, and was still hoping that all of this would happen for him, despite the fact that, you know, he wasn't even living in a house that he could stay dry from the rain.
Oh, you know, and that's so sad to me. It really is. You know, I wanted to ask you, now, you're Jewish,
mm-hmm.
and so, and when you were going through these churches, you know, there were people that were asking you where you go to church, and you knew that that was, at all these meetings that you were doing your research, and you knew that that was sort of an inevitable question at times. But when you observe churches like Hagee's take on this Jewish identity, and they practice the feasts and put on the garments, how do you, as a Jewish person and your community, how do you feel about that? Does Hagee get it right?
Well, I think what Hagee gets wrong is a lot of the same things he gets wrong about Christianity, that these things mean that you're supposed to give him money before you pay the rent, and that, you know, that giving him the what he calls the first fruits, which is what he refers to as the tithe, the tithe that you give before you pay the rent or before you pay your car payment or anything else, that's the first fruit and that's the best and that's what, you know, God will reward you financially for. And so, you know, that's in the same way that he distorts Christianity to be about money, he's distorting Judaism to be about money. And so that, to me, just like it's disturbing to you, it's, you know, it's disturbing to me in that same way.
Well, and there is validity to that, because tithe literally means tenth, and we are to give, but the question is, where does God want us to give? And my heart has always been with the poor and the homeless. I had a ministry in Washington, D.C. for 5 years distributing. Mm-hmm. I received clothing from stores and distribute them to the poor, and we would go downtown and give out things to the homeless people. I mean, that's where my heart was. That, to me, is the gospel. It's not mm-hmm. getting on stage and being an entertainer. And I was a singer for years, and people pushed me so hard to try and get me to go into the Christian music scene, which totally repulsed me. I ended up, I did move to Nashville. I was there for a few years, but I didn't get into the Christian music scene. My stuff was my own composition, which was pretty much what was be branded as New Age. But, you know, it's just, it's amazing to me how these men for so long have been able to exploit and twist the scriptures for their own personal gain. And like I said earlier, it still amazes me how so many exposés, like you mentioned in the book about Benny Hinn having been, what was it, Dateline that did a story on him?
Right.
I actually saw him in, out of curiosity, went to one of his meetings in Nashville, and he was on stage doing his thing, and a man came up to the stage and handed him something. Well, he turned around and so sharply and loudly rebuked the men around him and said, "I pay you money to be my bodyguard. You're supposed to protect me. Nobody is supposed to get up close to me on stage like this." And I the first thing that came through my mind is I thought, God, what, how arrogant. And, you know, who do you think you are that you, first of all, in front of thousands of people, should put someone down on your staff? And, you know, the diplomatic way to handle that would have been to wait until after the quote, show. And so, you know, it's not just heretical teaching that they're putting forth. It's not just the lifestyle. It's also, there also seems to be a very strong inherent attitude that is characterized by arrogance by some of these men.
Right, and that goes back to what we were talking about earlier about them believing and teaching their followers that they're God's anointed ones. And, you know, at the very beginning of the book, I have the quote from Psalm, you know, "Touch not my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm." And that's another piece of scripture that they take to suit their own ends. And so they've taken that as a way of spiritually intimidating their followers from questioning them. You know, so that's like, you know, well, if you come against me, I'm one of God's anointed. I'm one of God's anointed ones. I'm a prophet. So you can't question what I'm doing. And that's the reaction that Benny Hinn had after the Dateline expose. That's the reaction that the Crouches had after the Los Angeles Times did that four-part expose of not just their extravagant lifestyle, but about the allegations that Paul Crouch had a homosexual affair with an employee, with an ex-employee. And that's how they're able to keep going. I mean, after these exposés come out, you think, okay, this has got to be the thing that opens people's eyes and puts an end to their ministry. And it isn't, and it never is. And it's because they've really got people believing in this notion that they're God's anointed, and, you know, the Los Angeles Times is, you know, just this newspaper that's out to get them, and is, you know, and that the devil is out to get them, and that's why, you know, Dateline or Primetime Live or the newspapers or what have you are putting these stories out there.
Well, and we're going to go to a break here in a second, but one of the stories that I would like for you to share with our audience today, you tell us a very sad story about a woman who was very ill with cancer. Her family was unaware of what was going on. She was sending gobs of money. They still don't know, hundreds or thousands, tens of thousands of dollars to the Kenneth Copeland ministry. Kenneth Copeland and his wife live in an 18,000 square foot home. Good grief. I mean, who needs that kind of space? But they're living this big lifestyle, and this poor woman, who's suffering from cancer, and her family doesn't know about it, and they're sending her some correspondence that says, well, we're praying for you, and keep sending us money. So we're going to take another break right now, and when we come back for our final segment, I'd like for you to tell us a little more about that story.
Okay.
Stay tuned.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, Collodial Silver, Olive Leaf Extract, Oregano Oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
for our final segment of the show. And before the break, Sarah, I was giving a sort of a long drawn out, almost told the story, introduction to a very important story that I'd like for you to share with us.
Right. Well, you were talking about the story of Bonnie Parker, a woman who died of breast cancer because she did not seek medical care, and she instead was hoping that the ministry of Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would heal her. What happened was I met Parker's daughter, and her daughter told me the story of how after her mother died of breast cancer, they didn't even know, the family didn't even know she had breast cancer, and therefore didn't, you know that she wasn't seeking medical care for it. They discovered all these notebooks in her mother's house, where she was basically documenting how she was listening to Kenneth and Gloria Copeland on television, telling her that she could be healed, and that all she needed to do was believe and have faith, and most importantly, sow a seed, which is the lexicon that they use for giving the tithe or the offering. Sowing a seed, that means, you know, you give the money and then you will, quote unquote, reap a harvest, reap a financial harvest, or in her case, be physically healed of her cancer. And it's just a horrible, sad story of how they take advantage of people's desperation and people's irrational hopes. I mean, obviously getting a diagnosis of breast cancer is a very devastating thing.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure that this woman was frightened and didn't know what to do and was unfortunately, you know, kept this from her husband and her children. And unfortunately, they discovered that she had the cancer when it was just far, far too late for any medical intervention to be of any help.
Well, I wanted to ask you, I don't mean to cut you off there, but we've just got a couple minutes left, and I wanted to ask you, how different is all of this from what Luther observed when poor people were giving all they had to get their loved ones out of purgatory, and they were taking the money and building these huge basilicas in Rome? And I have to ask myself, how different is that?
Well, I think, you know, it's a similar sort of abuse of people's money, but I think in the current American culture, it's you know, it's so much more fueled by mass consumerism and the reach of television and the internet and just the amount of media that people have access to. And so I guess you could draw that parallel, but I see this as such an American distortion of religion. We're sort of combining religion with this very runaway, unregulated capitalism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, listen, this has been a wonderful conversation. I wish we had more time. I didn't want to end the show before we tell our audience how they may obtain your book and read more of your other writings. What are your different websites and how can they get the book?
Well, they can get the book on Amazon or at Borders, Barnes & Noble, other booksellers. More information about the book is at God's Prophets, and Prophets is spelled PROFITS.com. And I write a weekly column for the American Prospect online, and they can find that every Wednesday at prospect.org.
Well, Sarah, it's been a pleasure having you on the program, and I commend you with the work. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Nadia. I enjoyed it, too.
Thank you. And I just want to remind everybody, to a little programming note, tomorrow I'll have Norm Fons, and he'll be talking about the economy and where we can expect it to go. And I'll just see you tomorrow, but I'll leave you with this one thought, that the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. I'll see you tomorrow.
To everything.
Hey, honey, I'm home.